I wanted this next generation to, one, learn about these crimes. It is an educational piece. It's not preparing you to be that, but I think that horror has a responsibility and an opportunity to educate as well as entertain. So I used that in this. And then I want, next time you see, you know, a Ted Bundy tattoo, I want you to have to think about looking in the eyes of these women in this movie, knowing what he did to them, and then see if it seems as cool.
Today we are joined with the horror queen on and off the screen, Devonie Penn. Over the last decade, you may have seen her face prevailing as the final girl or getting absolutely slaughtered in some of the most famous, fun, and campiest horror movies, from Piranha 3D, The Flood, The Dawn, and pretty much anything with like a three-headed shark. She's even killed our boy Danny Trejo with a chainsaw. But beyond all the awesome stuff she does on the screen, we're here to talk about her brand new film that she directed and produced called The Black Mass, which is actually based off a true crime case and one of the most notorious serial killers we know. But what is extra cool about this was she didn't make it known in the trailer and told an isolated incident in this real life case that often gets overshadowed. She intends to honor both the victims and the survivors of this horrific act. We really appreciated the film and got an extra appreciation hearing all the layers behind it. So yeah, let's get right into it. Hi, Devonie.
How are you?
Great. Happy Sunday to you.
Thank you. To you as well.
Yeah, really great to meet you this morning. I've actually watched The Black Mass and was
like viewing on Sunday morning, huh?
Yeah, I know. I was about to say that was so, it was like such a fun movie, but I don't know if that's like the right word or what relates to my psychology, since it's like based on a true story and everything. But yeah, overall, it was just like so well done. And even before I dive in the movie, it was cool to like kind of see your resume and like over the past decade plus, you're kind of like the on-screen horror queen right now. And and I just kind of want to know what inspired you to take an extra step to produce a project of your own.
So this is actually the 14th or 15th feature that I produced.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so I've been producing since early in my career. I was kind of always nosy as an actress on set. I would be, you know, preparing for my scene, and then I'd be like to the lighting guy, I'd be like, hey, what does this do? And then I go to the sound guy, I'm like, hey, what does this button do? So I was always annoying all the crew on set, trying to find out what their jobs were. I was just fascinated by production from the beginning. And so eventually I ended up kind of finding like-minded filmmaker actors. And at the time it wasn't very popular to do that, but we kind of just all formed a group and started producing our own movies, because we were also genre fans, so we kind of knew what we wanted to see and what we wanted to create. From there, I never really had directing aspirations. I love acting and I love producing because I get to build the world that I'm in. So that's kind of fun. But I never really sought out to direct until it came to this project. I had the opportunity, thanks to Cleopatra, who are the producers, financiers on this. They were really supportive of me kind of jumping behind the lens. I was so particular on what I wanted this movie to be and how I wanted it to be executed that I really felt like to get exactly the story I wanted, I needed to do it myself.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And it's cool to hear how you built this community, and just, it seems like it's just such a natural progression of like, not only like just being in this industry, but like just to push your passions to another level and like challenge yourself and everything.
Yes, very much so. It was challenging, but very, very rewarding. I think it's, I always encourage actors to step behind the camera in some capacity, they can learn like the various jobs that happen on set. I think it makes you a stronger performer to have that understanding. You know, if you know what light they're putting up, you know where to angle your face. If you know what lens the director is using, you know what your frame is. So it just really arms you with information to do better at your job. And I think it's the same if you are behind the camera. I think you should always be in front of the camera at least once so you understand what you're asking of the performers. And having that knowledge and that complete understanding of your world, I think, allows you to do your very, very best work. And so it was a long time coming, but I feel like I learned so much in directing this project. And I feel very, very thankful. I guess it's kind of a cheesy way to say it, but I really am. I really felt strongly about this particular crime case and the people involved in it. And I was thankful for an opportunity to kind of shed some long overdue light on them. Mm-hmm. And so to jump behind the lens and direct my first project, I think it's just an incredibly rewarding story to be able to put out there and tell. And I'm just so grateful that people are responding to it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And kudos. And I can imagine too, like you being behind the lens too, that's got to be helpful for the actors you're working with, because you know what it's like to be in their shoes. And maybe you can say things in a different way that they'll understand, where maybe in certain cases, a director who's never been in front of the camera, like doesn't really get, or would never get, unless you had that experience.
It's absolutely the case. So I don't want to speak for my actors. They're very involved in the film, so they can speak for themselves. But they have told me they really, really appreciated how I handled the approach with them and the material itself. And I know, because I've done sensitive material, I've done really physically and emotionally demanding material. So I know what I hoped I could get from my director when I'm leaning on them. And I know kind of what the challenges are, because I've been in their shoes. So I was trying to be very sensitive to that and anticipate the needs for that, because it was such sensitive material with these stories, you know, not only just with them being as demanding as they are on the performer, but then also them being real people whose stories we're telling. We just all felt an additional responsibility to get it right. And so I think, you know, having absolutely been in their shoes, we were really able to get to the heart of it efficiently and quickly. And it was just, I guess they refer to it being an actor's director. Some people a little more on the technical side of things, and some people a little bit more working with the actors. And I always think the most interesting stories, especially in horror, where it kind of ends up being gimmicky a lot of the time, I think the stuff that really impacts people the most are human stories.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so, definitely. Yeah, yeah. And I think it's cool, like, just your vision and approach with this movie. Basically, like, I find a lot of times when you watch a movie on true crime or one of these famous like serial killers, they try to tell the whole journey where this is him as a kid and this is him like at the end of his life. And I like how you took an isolated incident, like maybe just Ted Bundy on a weekend doing his thing or whatever, yes, and just focused on this one story. I felt like it just made like such like a tight presentation of everything and got you like really locked into the moment.
That's so crazy about it, is this movie's been like, the story's been told a lot. It's been heavily covered in the media. It's been covered in Hollywood, you know, and I just never sat right to me that these poor people who were horrifically impacted in their lives and unwillingly showcased in pop culture for decades are just literally like a 2 or 3 minute blip in this monster story.
Yeah,
they didn't even get to be the forefront in their own attacks and murders. It just always bothered me to my core. And I said, they're, you know, not to say it's a fascinating story, but it was such an eventful 24 hours and such, it really just almost seemed made for television, that this 24-hour reign happened. So everything that you see in the movie is not fabricated, all based on actual facts. So he really went to the store that day. He really went to that club and that bar that night. So all of things that happened in that, those are literally, it's almost a timeline of that 24 hours. And it was, not only fascinating from a true crime perspective, it was such an emotional, powerful chain of events what happened with the stalking and attack of these poor young girls, that I really felt like, if nothing else, they get to star in their story for once. They get to let people know who they were, what they were. They were, they're not a number on a serial killer's bedpost. They are real people, real women, real families, friends, sisters, who were going about their day and had no idea what was coming for them. What was so impactful to me is, nowadays we kind of know monsters exist, right? We know about the psychology of serial killers and criminals who have, extreme antisocial personalities. But at that time, this is the case that literally coined the phrase serial killer. It
Wow.
did not exist until this chain of events. So these, and this was a time where you didn't lock your doors. There was nothing known to be afraid of. So when you think of one minute you're, going to work and doing your laundry and preparing for, midterms, coming back from winter break, the next minute an unimaginable, unknown to society kind of evil literally comes at your face. It was just the incredible chain of events that these women endured, and some survived and some succumbed to, was so intense. I thought it was important to take a moment and really experience what they went through, because these women are heroic on a level that was not even known. And I just think that was so important to showcase.
Wow, so much respect to you. It's so cool to hear like all the layers that went into like mentally preparing this piece, and where I was going in blindly just expecting, oh, it's just gonna be like a murder thing. Like I saw like a clip of the trailer and like I was thinking, oh, it's like all the cliche things, but it actually wasn't. And I thought another thing was cool, like you mentioned like a lot of these real stories, they are being told as like a blip of like a big picture where, again, like I didn't know the isolated incident of this too. But I know Ted Bundy, you know? And I think it's kind of even great what you did at the end credits of like almost the aftermath of the surviving girls. And also I didn't know they started like this support group and stuff like that. And it's just it's amazing. Like I it was like an educational piece where I didn't expect it, you know? Like I thought I was gonna
And that's
watch a slasher
exactly
flick, you know?
What it was supposed to be. So we were a little bit more gentle in the marketing of this. So we never said Bundy's name in the initial, and I toured around the world with this for a year before it came out. We never said his name because he has so much attention in the media. It was literally the point of the film to take the spotlight away from him and put it on these girls. So we
Nice.
didn't market it as a Bundy piece. And I knew, like, pretty much everybody in the world knew his name, but no one could name a single victim. And that rubbed me the wrong way. So I was doing a lot of horror conventions. I'm an actress in horror movies. I was meeting a lot of fans. And when I would go to these conventions, I kept seeing people with Bundy merchandise, t-shirts, cups. And, I was like, these people don't know who he really was, what he really did to people, because despite constant portrayals of him in the media and in Hollywood, it was always watered down to, like, oh, he's hot. Oh, he's suave. Oh, they glossed over the intensity of his mental illness and sexual fetish because it's uncomfortable to think about. So all the people really knew about him, especially in this next generation, was, he's a trendy serial killer. It was like cool to be a fan of his. So I wanted this next generation to, one, learn about these crimes. It is an educational piece. It's not preparing you to be that, but I think that horror has a responsibility and an opportunity to educate as well as entertain. So I used that in this. And then I want, next time you see, a Ted Bundy tattoo, I want you to have to think about looking in the eyes of these women in this movie knowing what he did to them, and then see if it seems as cool.
Respect to you, Devaney. And it's so true. Like, even like people, I find like they get, especially like young horror fans, are so disconnected to these cases. And
Yeah,
again, it's
it's not
just,
their fault. It's not their
yeah.
fault. It's how we portray them. So hopefully this will start to make you think differently about not only this case, but all cases. When you see shooters on the news, when you see, people attacking and you're in just unfortunately in the day-to-day life, hopefully you won't immediately think like, oh, who's the killer? Hopefully you'll think about the people whose lives are forever changed from the events. It's just
Yeah.
it's a deprogramming of society and how we handle these cases.
Yeah, it's almost like they mentally put him in a box, like as a character, like a Freddy or a Jason, and they're like,
A
yeah, it's
hundred percent.
cool, but it's not like this is like something that happened and people are suffering and like their parents are like their families are still probably suffering, like you know, so it's yeah, that's a very, very, very important
But we
message.
don't think about it that way. And it's not society's fault that we don't think about it that way. It just literally nobody that I've spoken to, and I've talked to a lot of people over the last year with this movie, nobody set out to idolize or pop culturize this killer. They didn't mean to overlook the victims. It's just how we are programmed to kind of respond to these cases. It's entertainment, and there's a very big wall that we put up in our psyche to make it safe to enjoy as entertainment. We really dehumanize everybody involved. So this is, it's kind of gift wrapped as a fun cliche slasher movie, but it is a deep dive into psychologically how we're approaching this kind of material and hopefully thinking of it differently. And so I'm sorry to everybody who wanted a quick little entertainment piece. This is
No,
so
this
not.
is awesome. This is great, Devin. Thank you so much for breaking down the layers too. It's like
Yeah.
I wanted to say like I appreciated the movie and it's cool. Like I'm even appreciating even more hearing like the work and thought and even overall intention you put into this piece, which is
Yeah.
super cool. And even I wanted to say like watching it too, it is a 70s piece and aesthetically, I thought you fucking nailed it with the music and
You.
just the cars and everything. And I gotta imagine as directing something like in the modern times to do a piece like that happened in the 70s, that must be such a pain of just like triple
Oh,
checking, making sure things like aren't out of place and everything, but
it was so much work.
yeah.
I feel very validated because a lot of people have noticed the attention to detail to the era. So I'm like, okay, all that blood, sweat, and tears was worth it. But we really, like, not only just me, my whole team really, really went like ridiculously above and beyond to try to make sure it was as historically accurate as possible. So the locations look the way they did really that day. Everything down to like the glasses they were holding, the little things they interact with, the outfits, the way everything is period appropriate and very, very close to or spot on for the actual day. Because it was so important for this movie to work that you really felt like you were going through this day with these people. Otherwise, it really would be kind of like just a cheesy period slasher movie. So we worked really, really hard. The music, Fernando Perdomo, who I worked with on the last movie on this team, Frost, we brought him back on this because I think he just really understands the era and the feeling that music can give to you when you're embodying this kind of a piece and this kind of an era. And I think that he just nailed it. So everybody involved, the cars, they're period appropriate. Let me just tell you how difficult on a budget was to find a period appropriate ambulance and police car.
Yeah, that work actually too.
Our working condition,
Yeah.
it was so there's just lots and lots of little things like that, trying to find, not only a house that was film friendly would allow you to be the scene of a crime for, Ted Bundy's murderous rampage, but then to have it look like all the crime scene photo, there's just so much that went into it. It was, really a long, long time with lots of prep work and planning, but I'm so proud of what we were able to do with it, especially on limited budget, and my team was just awesome.
Yeah,
Really was.
you should definitely be proud too. One thing I loved was when he processed his credit card, and I forgot that's like the old way to do it. And I remember when I was a kid, I used to work at the store, and they had that there, and they're like, "Oh, if the machine ever goes down, you got to use it." And it kind of gave me
What are
PTSD because like one day it actually went down, and I did it, and I did it wrong, and they're just like, "Oh, like you cost us
what
like this
are
money."
So, what's really funny? Like,
Yeah.
I felt massively old because my actress who makes the phone call to call her bookstore for books for her classes, She was like, "What is this?" And I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "What do I do?" She didn't know what a rotary phone was. Because she's actually like 20 years old. So I had to show her how you make a phone call on the rotary.
That's awesome. I know me and you were both in our 30s and we saw like the last, the death of rotary
Exactly.
phones, but maybe at our grandma's house or whatever. But yeah, that's so
Yeah, so
cool.
there's a lot of crazy technology like that that we had to source and even educate people on. So, in that capacity, I love nostalgia and I love period pieces. I'm like kind of a nerd in that way because I really like history. So for me, like finding those individual props, the phones, the phone booths, the cars, just the technology that didn't exist, it was all really fun in that capacity. I hate to say that this movie was fun, but there were some moments that were rewarding in that way.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, it's so cool. And even like, I know this movie's out right now. I think this is going to be the fastest turnaround I've done on an episode. Usually record and like put it out like a couple weeks around like the stuff, but I think I'm going to get this out tomorrow. I'll try to get the word out and everything.
Awesome. Thank you
Yeah.
so much. I really appreciate that. Yeah, we did so much leading up to it that like when it came down to the release, like we were all a little like burnt out. And as you can imagine, it's really heavy material. So to like consistently talk about it for a year, we were all like, I need a breather. So we wanted to just take, this week to celebrate the accomplishment of getting it out to people and hopefully people respond to it. We did really well. Like the day it came out, we got to number two on Amazon in horror, and it sold out. So they're restocking it right now, and people are kind of seeking it out on their own, and the word of mouth is kind of traveling on it. So it's really great, and I hope people will watch it so we can start to have these kind of conversations. That's really the intention behind the movie, and I so appreciate you having me on to help continue the conversation.
Oh yeah, no problem. Yeah, congrats on like the momentum with it and everything too. And even
Thanks.
before we go, I got another question for you, just
Yeah.
more on like your acting life, like, and even like I see like your resume, the films you've been in, just the legacy of being either the final girl or just murdered by alligators, sharks, creatures,
Yeah.
and all this. And I want to know, like, do you have a favorite like murder scene or like something you got in a way you got killed or something you think is like the coolest? I know there's like a lot, like it's over a decade of catalog, but
Yeah, it's so I don't know if it came out. There was one movie I did where it was an unintentional horror comedy that I did that literally a jealous teenage girl kidnapped me and my friends from high school and fed us Twinkies until our heads blew up and exploded. That was probably a favorite. I got eaten by a two-headed shark. That was pretty awesome too. And then I guess probably the ultimate would have to be Piranha 3D
There's a big one.
was because it's literally the biggest slaughter in cinematic history. And I got hired to just be like one of the wet t-shirt girls on the stage and during spring break. But when they found out that I could die, well, it was the beginning of my career. Alex Aja, the director, he literally like sent all the rest of the girls home and was like, stay for an extra 2 weeks. So I die like six or seven times all over the massacre in different places. So it's like there's like a drinking game now if you can spot me in the different parts of the
Just
massacre.
changing your
But
hair and stuff like that. Oh,
yes.
that's so cool.
Yes, so
Yeah.
that was really cool. So I got to die over and over and over and over again in there, literally in a slaughter of like 1,000 students. So that was super, super. I don't know if I can curse on this. Super
Oh, you
cool.
can. Yeah. Fuck
But
yeah.
I
That's
love it.
awesome.
I literally like when I sign on to a movie, the first thing I ask is like, do I die? And people are always like, well, yes, but here's the thing. And I always tell them, good, I'll do it because I don't like to live. I know that's weird. In
Yeah.
horror movies, I love special effects, especially physical special effects. And I love doing death scenes. So if regardless what the movie is, if you have a really, really cool death scene in it, I will do it every single time.
Nice
So much
respect.
fun.
Devaney, I love your spirit. That's awesome. Yeah. I know you got like another interview right after this in a few minutes, but I just want to thank you for your time and
Thank you.
yeah, I
This has
felt
been
like I
super
could
fun.
awesome. I'm glad you had a good time too. Like I still feel like I can ask you a million questions. So hopefully around your next project we can like do another one of these.
I would absolutely love it. Please keep in touch. I'm very, very active on social media. I love talking to fellow horror nerds. So whether it's you or anyone watching this, please, I'm happy to continue the chats. And thank you for watching my stuff and hopefully this movie. And I'm definitely looking forward to coming back on, hopefully with more time and just chatting all things spooky for sure.
Hell yeah, appreciate that. Definitely going to keep in touch. And yeah, hope you have a good day and have some fun interviews as well. Like,
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
yeah,
Bye,
cheers. Take care.
guys.
Hope you enjoyed that talk with Devony Pin. Right now, The Black Mass is available on Blu-ray, DVD, and multiple streaming services. I thoroughly enjoyed this chat, and it seems like Devony had a good time too. Felt like there was so much I could talk about, even beyond this film, and a lot of cool shit in her career. And I'm sure you'll be hearing her voice on one of these segments sometime in the future. And before we go, like always, we can't leave without thanking all you legends on the Patreon page. Appreciate you guys so much supporting the show. And first up, the biggest thanks to Mike Carniello of the Testing with Mike YouTube channel. If you're into electronics, technology, how they work, and most importantly, how to fix them, check out Testing with Mike on YouTube. Another big thanks to Amanda McKnight of Top 10 Nerd. Not only is she the host of Top 10 Nerd talking to millions of subscribers, Amanda has her very own YouTube channel that I recommend you checking out and soaking in those good vibes and learning about comic books, video games, movies, and all things nerdy. That's Amanda McKnight on YouTube. Another big thanks to the wonderful Jenny Potter, the legend Devin McBride, the number one gent Alan frickin' Kent, and big wig Alan Briggs. Shout out to Alan for joining the Patreon, and not only joining the Patreon, getting one of the upper tiers and spending a little extra money over here. Dude, I appreciate you so much. And another thanks to our favorite soul singer, Saber, and last but not least, Francis Coffer, aka my mom. If you want to shout out at the end of every one of these episodes and also get these episodes raw, uncut, early, right when I'm done the Zoom call, I just post them. You can go to patreon.com/thecreativeimbalance, and beyond having my thanks, you can just go to bed at night and sleep soundly knowing you're a badass motherfucker who supports raw, uncut, independent media, and nobody can take that away from you. You hear me? With that being said, we got so many great episodes coming around the corner. I don't know if you noticed, but we've been on a tear and it's not stopping. So stay tuned and we'll catch you next time. Mwah.